Wrestling Observer Live on Saturday. It's Jim Valley here, and as always, we're live 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern and noon Pacific, Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, and Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Jim Valley, the effing king of recovery. It's all good. From Diego to the Bay, sports byline, baby. You know, I have spent hours this morning, as always, preparing a show for you. And right before showtime here, producer Daniel and I start talking about Missy Elliott's Work It. We couldn't think of the song. What's the song that flips it? You smack it up, flip it, and reverse it. 2002, the height of civilization. I'm going to go put on my denim outfit and go to the award shows, but I don't have time for that. We've got to cover things. I've got more to cover than WWE has got psychotic cult leader characters. Joe Gacy, Bray Wyatt, Monday Night Messiah, Raven, Corporate Ministry, Papa Shango. I could keep going. You're going in your head right now listening to them. You get the idea. I've only got an hour, but since I've got an hour, both Rampage, SmackDown, they're fine. They're good, generally speaking, but there's nothing really I feel compelled to cover or talk about. Danhausen lost, whatever. He's a comedy character. I don't think he's quite 100% physically, honestly, right now, but Tony Nese needed to win. He needed to pin him in seconds because of distractions by Mark Sterling, and Tony Nese needed the win more than Danhausen. I don't think it matters. No need to go on about it. If you want recaps, there are so many other shows for that you can listen to virtually any other show for recaps. So I don't want to waste your time with that. I don't want to waste my time. I got an hour a week. I want to talk about good stuff and fun stuff, and we have got a packed show today. You know, I came back, and you know what else has come back? Because of the fans. We'll talk about that and so much more coming up next. Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. My wife is out of town. She's in the travel business, and so she is out on a cruise. So I'm here by myself for the week, and I was going to own this week, baby. I made plans with different friends every night. I was going to go have dinner or lunch. I was going to own this week, and invariably, every time, my friends canceled on me, or I canceled on them once. But you know what I've done all week? Nothing. I uploaded those pictures to my Pix app, you know, the one that does the oil paintings. Me and wrestlers and oil paintings. I've done nothing this week. I look like Steve Martin in The Jerk. I just need these headphones and this copy of Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Hey, coming up, did you know you can have a big wrestling card in Washington, D.C. without RoboCop? Me neither. But apparently New Japan Capital Collision is that show. Unless, of course, Juice Robinson lied to us again. Working the sheets. We'll run down the show and that killer four-way for the U.S. title. We will also talk about why Rhea Ripley joined the Judgment Day. And again, it's all your fault. Hashtag because of the fans. Also, Sami Zayn, how's he doing? I think the quick answer to this question right now is to ask yourself, what if you do worse? I think he's doing great. That's my opinion. I'll give you the full answer coming up in just a minute, and you can compare it to yours. Also, Ric Flair is coming back. No, really. I know. Yeah, it feels like he's never left. But, I don't know. But he's going to be in a match, apparently, against the Rock and Roll Express and another person teaming with, I think Dave Meltzer said, FTR. So we will see how that goes. Also, we need to talk about my girl, Lacey Evans. You know, I have been an OG Lacey Evans fan. And what's going on? Are we supposed to boo a real-life Marine who's overcome so much? So I'm not sure about that. We'll talk about that coming up. But one of my favorite wrestlers I want to touch on is a woman no more, Kagetsu. You remember Kagetsu? She retired not that long ago. Man, in the late 2000s, she was the best. It got no better than Kagetsu, the champion of Stardom just a few years ago, has been in retirement, and she has just announced that she is now a he, and he has changed his name to Yu Ishino. Now, as you may or may not know, Kagetsu was born a woman, and her actual name, her birth name, her given name was Yukari Ishino. So her new name is not that far from his original birth name. And he's living now in his hometown of Osaka as an advocate for transgender issues. And I have so much respect and admiration for Kagetsu as a talent. And it's a shame to lose such a great name too. I gotta be honest. I love the name Kagetsu. It has a gravitas. But I think for her case, Kagetsu translates one of the definitions. I think in her case, it's something like moonflower, something to do with a flower. So either way, I wish Yu Ishino the best. And no matter what you call him, he will always be one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. Speaking of Japan, lots of people talking about the back and forth that's been going on in public with New Japan and Kota Ibushi. People want to know what Fumi Saito, one of my podcast partners, thinks. And here's what I can tell you. He and I have on the books a plan to deliver two shows, probably by this time next week. We are scheduled to record with Debbie Malenko tomorrow, and then we will schedule a more traditional Pacific Rim, and we'll get Fumi's perspective on that and a lot more with wrestling. We need to catch up with my boy Fumi. Speaking of Debbie Malenko, man, I got a lot of plugs today, don't I? I will be in Las Vegas for Double or Nothing Weekend. I'll be wandering around various events, probably the Pinball Hall of Fame. I don't know what I'm going to do. But anyway, we're 2 weeks away. But this I can tell you. I will make my first ever, and probably my only, appearance as a participant in a wrestling match. I will manage Debbie Malenko and be in her corner as she faces Billy Starks Saturday, May the 28th for Poder Quattro at the Silver Nugget Casino. As my good friend in Las Vegas, Rich Johnson, says, the Silver Nugget Casino, now with fewer parking lot homicides. Okay, there will also be a meet and greet with Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez at 10 a.m. at the Silver Nugget, and then a Q&A at 11, and this women's show, Poder Quattro, will follow immediately, so probably around 12. Now, here's the good news. If you can't make it, maybe you're in town, you can't make it, you're going to be at the AEW event, or you're not going to be in town at all, for just $10, you can stream Poder Quattro live. And I'm told you don't need to sign up for the website. All you need to do is just pay your money and watch. So it is Poder Quattro. It is on the Future Stars of Wrestling Network. So go to fswnetwork.online. And you can check it out and order it as I'm in the corner of Debbie Malenko. And honestly, I'm telling you the truth. This is a shoot, brother. I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe they don't need me to do anything. Maybe I'm going to go off the rails because it's my one shot. I don't know. We'll see. I honestly probably won't know until I get out there. So if you want to see me go nuts or do nothing, it's going to be one of the two, probably. I doubt it's going to be in between, but check it out. Poder Quattro, and that is the Saturday of Double or Nothing Weekend, Silver Nugget Casino. Go to SFSWnetwork.online. A Capital Collision is tonight, and of all the Washington, D.C.-based pro wrestling extravaganzas, I would have to rate it Combat, Punishment, and then Collision. And that's strictly based on the fact that you can have a slight collision. Capital Punishment second, and Capital Combat has got to be number one, simply based on RoboCop. I mean, come on. Look, if RoboCop inches down the ring tonight and takes a death ride from Moxley, then we'll talk. I'll reconsider. 4 p.m. on the West Coast, 7 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out on Fight TV. I mean, this match, this one match is going to be sick. IWGP U.S. title match, four-way. Tanahashi, Moxley, Juice Robinson, and Will Ospreay. I mean, that's some talent right there. That's going to be great. If I were to guess, my gut tells me that a heel needs to walk out with the title. It's heel season. So I'm going to go with Juice Robinson to walk out as U.S. champion, and the chase will be on. That's my thought. But honestly, it's a pick'em. Also, a Chaos tag team match. Okada teaming with Trent Beretta, returning to New Japan in quite a while, taking on Hikuleo, Jay White, the Bullet Club, and Eddie Kingston and Ishii. Plus, you got Minoru Suzuki and Brody King. Also other stars, Dave Finley, Fred Rosser, and of course Rocky Romero. I mean, he's like the Michael Caine of wrestling. He's in everything, Rocky Romero. All right, we will talk about much more things. Judgment Day coming up because of the fans. Next, Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live. That I won't try, but I'm lies in the eyes and the looks to kill.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Wrestling Observer Live. Is that music you can steal a catalytic converter to? Thank you, Degenerate on Twitter, for inspiring that joke. Great line. It's a callback from last week. I love you for that. I followed you back for that. Thank you. It touched me. It's Jim Valley here on Saturday and the Judgment Day. Doesn't that sound weird? Sounds like Bret Hart named them. Sounds like Bret Hart describing everything. The WWE, the WCW. It's going to go to the McDonald's or the Jiffy Lube. Why does Bret Hart stick the... Hey, Brett, can you name this group? How about the Judgment Day? It sounds weird, doesn't it? It should just be Judgment Day. But of course, when Edge started, you still want to call him The Edge, like the guy in U2. I guess we got used to that. So we can get used to the Judgment Day, eh? It is now made up of Edge, Damian Priest, and now officially this week, Rhea Ripley. And on Monday... Normally, I don't talk about what happens on Monday because that was so long ago. We've got 27 hours of wrestling alone. I got stuff to cover. I don't need to talk about Raw usually, but I'm making an exception today because Edge yelling at the fans, sounding like your mother when you were in high school. Look what you did to my body. I used to be hot. People wanted that ass. For the record, I'm paraphrasing. Edge did not say dad ass, but that's actually dad asses. Come to think of it, something Christian would probably say. But anyway, it is because of the fans that Edge has got so many injuries and so many surgeries and you don't care. And then he took credit for breaking up your favorite tag team. And I was like, Edge broke up the Young Bucks? Oh, no. Then I realized he meant Rhea and Liv. And like, where'd he get that idea? But I had no idea who he was talking to. Maybe their parents? Their favorite tag team. But look, then Damian Priest said the key phrase. Anytime it's because of the fans, you can guarantee the phrase that comes soon, if not next, is each and every one of you. I'll give you credit, though. He didn't point and turn in a half circle. That's the only trifecta they missed. But then it was Rhea Ripley's turn. And she said she was, you heard it, she was tired of signing autographs at 4:30 at the airport for little kids, only to see them for sale on eBay the next morning. Look, $10 is $10. I'm very lucky. I do 1 hour a week here, and I love it. I'm amazed and appreciative of how nice you all have been to me and how you choose to listen. And my point is that over the few years that I've been off, that I was gone, that I didn't do the show, people still came up to me or tweeted at me about signature bits that gained traction. And one of them is hashtag because of the fans. And it's something I just thought of. I don't think I've talked about this. I thought of years ago while I was shopping at Costco. And one day I came in to do this show without a definite plan of what I was going to do or say or where I was going to go. And just in the moment, and before I even realized it, I was a few sentences into this bit that I kind of kicked around in my head, and it was too late. I had to commit. And since then, anytime any wrestler turns and blames the fans, I always get tweets, hashtag because of the fans. Seriously, go to Twitter right now whenever you can and search the hashtag because of the fans. You'll see so many wrestlers. Rhea, Edge, Damian Priest, Seth, who was the original that inspired me, Bailey, the other original. Those were the two that got me going on this. And since then, in no particular order, Becky, Trevor Murdoch, Jericho, Don Callis, Shotzi, Lance Archer, Ronda, and I could go on. You're probably thinking of some right now. And you know what? There'll probably be more next week, if not the week after or the week after. I remember right before the pandemic hit and crowds were still at wrestling, I was on a roll with somebody turning like once a week for several weeks straight. And there was an expectation that I had to do some sort of because of the fans bit. It never stopped. It was like, I don't know. You ever see the movie They Live with Roddy Piper? It was like putting on glasses in They Live because of the fans. You saw it everywhere. You know, and I don't know why they do this. It's not scary. You don't get mad. You know what's up. It's sort of like going to the zoo and seeing primates upset. You know you're safe. You know nothing's going to happen to you. And you just kind of laugh if they jump and scream and throw their poop at you. And, of course, I'm talking about the wrestlers. But, look, here's the question. What can Judgment Day do? Can they win a world title? No. There's no world title to win. Is Rhea going to go after Bianca? Sure. That could give some heat. Will anyone care if Edge or Priest holds the U.S. title? Big deal. The title is an afterthought. And without that ultimate symbol, the WWE Championship or Universal title of the top of the card, of the top of the mountain, controlling the WWE, Judgment Day is more like Memorial Day. They're buried. And it's not because of the fans. Hashtag, it's because of creation. You know, I'm not just known for because of the fans. Actually, I'm not known at all. But for the three people who do know me, I love the Because of the Fans title because I see myself personally as a populist. I want people to get along, and I consider myself, you know, like I said, not popular, not famous, but a man of the people. I want to bring people together if I can. But look, people will invariably bring up Because of the Fans. Awesome. Or they'll mention my show a few years ago, where I spent about 40 minutes making the case as to why then Cody Rhodes, during his Jericho feud, was the best wrestler in the world. Maybe he's getting there again. We'll see. Maybe I'll do another Cody show. But anyway, those two bits people like. That's great. But there's one people razz me about. Before she challenged Bayley for the world title at Royal Rumble, Lacey Evans had it all. That Americana iconography, the incredible entrance that you could see Vince choreographing for her. She had all of this presentation. It felt like they were on to something. And I agreed at the time, and I still do. She's not the best wrestler, but I thought you could cover that up. And she had something that I predicted would happen. I predicted a title win and big things for her. Well, she lost. I thought Vince loved her. I thought it was an obvious call. No. Bayley beat Lacey Evans pretty quickly and handily, as I recall. And Lacey has had so many stops and starts and new personas. Even the Big Show is like, damn. Yeah. Turn Big Show into Ron Simmons. It's true. That's how many stops and starts Lacey Evans. Anyway, look, I don't have time to get into every single chapter, but in addition to Americana, we had Southern Belle, Super Mom. I loved her daughter, ringside. And then maybe having Ric Flair's baby, and then disappearing to have her real life baby. And these past weeks, when she told her story, yeah, maybe it was a little long. I see that criticism. Maybe it was a little too real. I can see that point too, but we still don't know which Moondog her dad was. And look, that guy, you go out and party with him some night, I guarantee you, you're going to wake up with Dog the Bounty Hunter locking you in at the Hazard County Jail. It's a given. Anyway, Lacey Evans has overcome so much and is a real-life Marine. And this is a wrestling show. Believe and support whatever you want. But I think it's fair to say that while there may be people who are not happy or want to see changes perhaps in the VA or the military-industrial complex as a whole, there are not many people, at least any normal people, that want to see and boo an individual who is currently enlisted or has served for real in the military. Seriously, do you? I don't want to do that. It makes me uncomfortable. It is shades of sort of what our country went through when people came back from Vietnam. I don't want to boo a real-life Marine representing the military in wrestling. If she was doing something else, fine. And Dave Meltzer seems to think that the reasoning behind this is old people who have Vince's ear. So, here's my question for you. Is she Sergeant Slaughter? I don't know. Is she going to be another military character? There are so many throughout the years. We'll continue with Lacey Evans and so much more coming up. Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
What is that song? Is that music dug out of Kenny G's garbage? What? That's awful. It's Jim Valley, It's Wrestling Observer Live. You're not here for the awful music. You're here for the awful wrestling talk. And I've got plenty for you. I may go long. I might record some afterwards and upload it to the website. We'll see how I feel. But getting back to Lacey Evans, and wrestling does have a history of military characters who were portrayed as so tough and sadistic that they claimed the characters were thrown out of the military. And of course, they ended up in wrestling, where they got paid to do what they love, to hurt people. But that's not the case here. Lacey Evans worked and kept her eyes on the prize, she told us. And regardless of anyone who may have a problem, like I said, with the military machine, I don't want to boo an individual who's done what she's done. Change the character. Take all this off the table, fine. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch her transform over the next few weeks and see these characteristics that will define this character for the audience. Is she going to be vain? Make us stand up all the time? Full of herself and all she's done? She's going to brag? Sadistic. Watch her opponent suffer. I don't know. But I do know Lacey Evans has been one of the characters who has been most abused and misused by creative. Pick something for her and stay with it. Seriously. Sometimes she's been like three characters at once. I thought, personally, they had something with the whole Americana. I also loved Supermom, with her daughter at ringside, supporting her and standing up for families. I thought that was awesome, but hand her up that. And then she embraced the sassy Southern Belle. I thought that was kind of dated, but whatever. Then they dropped that. And not the baby. No, they didn't. They didn't drop her baby. That's fine. It's not Ric Flair's offspring. But now Lacey Evans is back, and I just don't know. Is she going to be Sergeant Slaughter, a psychotic Corporal Kirshner, or maybe Sergeant Hulka from the movie Stripes, Eileen Brennan from Private Benjamin? I don't know. But if you look at the past of Lacey Evans for an indication for the future, they're going to drop it. Hey, last week, I think it was last week, I had told you about my friend Alex from England. He was at the WWE card at the O2 Arena. And he says, and he was there, there's no reason to doubt him. He said that Butch was super over with the crowd, one of the biggest reactions, if not the biggest reaction of the night. And somebody on the F4W board online would not believe this, could not believe this. And this idea rattled around in this person's little head, and he just was not going to believe it. Refused to believe that anyone would cheer Butch, let alone a big or biggest reaction. Didn't happen. Not true. Whatever. This person also hates my show and disagrees with, I think, everything I have said. And look, the only reason I bring this up, not to ridicule them, not to fight with them or argue, but just to make the case that I'm fair game. I put myself out there. I get some people feel bad for me. I can be seen as sympathetic, but if I do a show, I put it out there, I've got to welcome it. I am fair game no matter what. So I just wanted to give an example and say that I have to expect criticism and be able to take it. Yeah, sometimes it hurts, especially when people are right, but it comes with the territory. And even though I've been sick and only a few shows in so far, I'm still kind of getting it all back after an extended absence. I'm fair game, so please don't be upset about it. Don't feel defensive. It's just the way it is. Anyway, getting back to my friend Alex, the big lying idiot who doesn't know what he's talking about. Big tall jerk. So he calls me the other day, and we talked for an hour or so, and he feels bad for Sami Zayn. He thinks Sami has fallen so far since WrestleMania, running away and eventually getting destroyed by Drew McIntyre for weeks. Now he's sort of a bloodline lackey, I guess. Anyway, who knows what tomorrow brings? Maybe he can get a corporal or some sort of subordinate to Lacey Evans. That might work. But here's what I do know. Sami Zayn is doing great. WWE's always been the land of the giants. Two guys I kind of got to know lately and really like, the Bollywood boys. You might know them as the Singh brothers. In WWE, they backed up Jinder Mahal when he was champion. That's another story. But anyway, the Bollywood boys had to take sick bumps, remember? They did all kinds of crazy things on camera. Things Randy Orton has never had to do or needs to do. Things below Roman's pay grade. Those two, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, blessed with size. The Bollywood boys, not blessed with tremendous size. Not bad, just not tremendous. But I can tell you from experience, they're blessed with ability, intelligence, charisma, intestinal fortitude, and great instincts. How many people their size got as much main roster TV time as the Bollywood boys? That's a short list. I would watch them each week before I knew them, and I was in awe on television. And when I got to work with them in Defy in Seattle, the first thing, I walked right up and I kind of fanboyed a little. I was probably bad, but they're such cool and nice people. They were very gracious, but I told them that I admired them and that they should be incredibly proud of all they've accomplished so far. And I know that they're going to accomplish more. And they had to buy 10 times greater and do 10 times more because of this size. Which brings me to Sami Zayn. Probably a little bigger than the Bollywood boys, but not a WWE-sized giant by any means. He's fine. But look at all he's accomplished. He was a perfect fit in the old NXT. But then he hit the main roster, and we've seen similar guys like him go up or out the door. Pretty much two choices. And Sami's talented. But it takes more than talent to make it in WWE. And I told my friend Alex this. You've got to look at it like a play or a movie. Of course you want to be the lead, Chris Hemsworth, or any of the seven leading actors named Chris in Hollywood, but not everyone can be or is necessarily a lead actor. But that's not necessarily bad. For every Bradley Cooper, you need a Ken Jeong. He's not the star. He doesn't have the most screen time, but you remember him in the Hangover movies because he's great. He had great moments. He did crazy stuff. Did we see him naked? I don't know. I don't remember, but it was something bad. I know that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He doesn't need to be the top. He's still memorable. And I see Sami Zayn sort of like that. If WWE is the circus, and it is. Sami Zayn is a great heel clown, basically. My friend Alex thinks that Sami should go somewhere else. Maybe. I mean, he'd be fine in New Japan, or if things opened up in AEW. Of course he would. We all know this. He would fit anywhere, everywhere he wanted to. But look, Sami just came off the match that he is going to be most known for. And have to recall in every interview he does until he dies. He got to work with Johnny Knoxville because officials trust Sami and knew that he could pull it off, even with so many green amateurs and so many moving parts in the match. He was a maestro, worthy of Charlie Chaplin or Harold Lloyd. Brilliant, live-action, physical comedy, and nobody could see the illusions. If you think of especially WWE, like a TV show. Sami Zayn is doing great. He's carved out a niche for himself. No, he does not win all of the time. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Why does it matter if Sami Zayn wins? Are you going to see him any less? He doesn't need to win. And also, I don't know if you know this, it's not real. It's predetermined. Alex, my friend, who's great and very smart, wants Sami to be world champion. Does Sami have world champion skills? Of course he could pull it off, but there are other factors. It's likely never to happen. He's not what Vince looks for in a long-term top champion. I mean, anything is possible. If he held a WWE major title, it would be for probably less than a week as a transitional champion between two major title holders. But it doesn't matter. Dude is getting paid. He just came off the match of his life. He can lose all he wants. And it just doesn't matter. What are your thoughts on that? 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. I'm a big fan of Sami. I think he's going to continue to thrive for as long as he wants. And then more than likely what they will do is move him, you know, in an NXT role. And he'll go down and he'll help people in NXT. He'll put people over. He'll teach people to get ready for the main roster and be a mentor for many people when the time comes. And it'll be great. So, if you think Sammy's getting buried, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that maybe there are other ways to look at wrestling. Look at it more like a stage presentation where other actors, other featured performers can shine in a role with fewer minutes, or if they're the bad guy and they die in the end, or they lose the girl. It doesn't matter. What matters seriously are those moments. Sami has grabbed those moments, and WWE is about those moments. What are your thoughts on that? 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. It's Jim Valley back, Wrestling Observer Live. Ready for Capital Collision tonight. I do want to call it Capital Combat, even though I know what it is. But we'll touch base on that and more coming up next. Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Tweet me at Jim Valley. Capital Collision tonight, 4 p.m. West Coast, 7 p.m. Eastern on Fight TV. You know, no RoboCop, but since New Japan is a Japanese-based company, I wonder if maybe one of those Honda robots could come down. Ultraman could come down and save Filthy Tom Lawler. I'd love to see it. No, I wouldn't. Anyway, I think it's going to be a great show. That U.S. title match is as attractive a match as I've seen on paper all year. You've got the tag team match with Okada, Beretta coming back, taking on Hikuleo, Jay White, Eddie Kingston, and Ishii. You've got Suzuki against Brody King. That's going to be a banger. Huge 10-man match featuring David Finlay, Fred Rosser, Rocky Romero, because he's in everything. And then so much more. An 8-man match. And also my friend, I love it when you call him, Ren Narita, will also be there. I hope you'll be back here next Saturday. Thank you for joining me. Tweet me at Jim Valley, and I will talk to you next time. Jim Valley, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.